The biggest issue that so many people have is they talk about things in theory versus reality. If you just listen to this conference, I'm doing this for everyone here, like, what are you gonna do? Like, you just-
I'm gonna try my best.
You know, which is amazing. Like, you're coming from a good place. You'd like this for them, but like, I just also don't think you have an answer to the shortcut.
Right.
So you have no other choice.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
I think we should go to the audience now. So we have a few microphones at the front of the room. If you have a question for Gary, we're gonna ask you to do his line up behind one of these microphones, and Gary will choose you based on who's in the line. So
I highly recommend you get your ass in line. Let's get going. My friend.
How are you, Gary?
I'm well.
4 years ago, I stood here in front of you, 2019, and you spoke to the whole room and said, if you're not on TikTok, you're killing yourself, you're killing your business. And that night I went home, made my first video, and an 8-year-old boy said to me in the comments, never do that shit again. I ate shit for 1 year on TikTok, and a couple of years later, I had 500,000 followers. So I created a mascot, a character on TikTok. I listened to everything you said. And during that time, I created a business as well. I knocked every door. Whosoever listened to me, I went to the shops to like stock my products. I did everything what you asked me to do. Took the nose, didn't let me get down. I got there in the end. But then also, I realized that you said to me in that 2019, that people are trying to be 3-0. There will be a lot of wrong decisions you'll make. And I did make a lot of wrong decisions because my first product didn't go very well. I reiterated it. I made the second product, which I'm selling since January 2000, this year, 2023. So I just want to know, even though I understand that there's not going to be 3-0, it's always going to be wrong decisions, right decisions, when do you know that you give up? When do you know that it's not working? When does the ambition and ability become confused?
When do you
know that you go back to what you were good at, which is social media? The second part, how do you position yourself?
Well, on the first one, you know by the results.
See, this is the thing. The product is selling, but when I'm selling it.
Okay.
So I've been to so many investors. I've been on a couple of TV shows. The investors have told me that the product is not scalable because the product price is quite high. The product quality is good. Since January 2023, I've sold 10,000 units just doing farmers markets over the weekends.
Okay.
So the product sells when I sell it, when people know what it is.
Haven't you actually won?
Yes, but I want to have the mass, the scale.
Why?
Because that's what my dream is.
Why?
Because I want to leave a legacy.
For who?
For my child.
Okay, but why are you defining that on mass?
Probably because that's one of the dreams I always had since being a child, that I want to build a company which everybody should know about.
Well, then you should adjust what you're doing. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth. It's clear that it doesn't scale in its current form, mm-hmm. right? But you just said you wanted to go mass, but you're telling me, but it sells when I sell it, but that's inherently not scalable.
Mm-hmm.
So which is it?
I want to scale, so I want to bring down the costs.
So bring down the costs.
Okay. Well, this is the thing. I can only bring down the cost by reducing the quality of the product.
I understand, but you just told me the number one KPI is scale.
It's nothing. See? That's the difference.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's like, I'm gonna move on because we took a lot of time on this. That, what I did for you, is why I did it that way and why I stuck with it, is I wanted everybody to hear that. You can't have both if both can't coexist. If he's talking, I want scale, that's the most important thing, that's the legacy, well then you can't have a subjective opinion on quality. Is a McDonald's burger quality? The person that's eating it gets to decide, not me, not you, they hit scale. Scale is not debatable, quality is debatable.
And last thing, in 2019, I wanted to give him a food product. It was not ready, but now it is.
I'll take it, brother. Thank you.
Hi, Hi, Gary. Thanks so much for your generosity on my daily podcast every morning.
Thank you. What's your name?
Fatima.
Fatima.
I set up a management consulting company after being bullied in corporate and
okay.
whilst suffering from an anxiety disorder.
Okay.
I've grown it to 7 figures organically, predominantly through LinkedIn.
Wow.
My question is, because I'm in a male-dominated industry, and I know you're not a male, but you probably work with successful women, how can I be disruptive so that I can gain the attention of the companies that are constantly bringing in the male consulting companies, you know, typical middle-aged white hair, as opposed to people like me that are female-led entrepreneurs?
You've already succeeded, though. You're doing 7 figures.
Yes, but I feel like I've sort of stalled. Like, there's so much more I've got plans to do and want to do, and I'm just kind of like not sure what the next step is.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're also very young in your journey. Like, those old white males, a lot of times it's not because they're white males, it's because they've been doing it for 30 years and a lot of people buy experience. Like, I mean, if you've been able to scale to 7 figures, you just gotta keep doing it. Okay. Do you know what I mean? You're not gonna convince anybody.
Yes.
You're definitely not gonna convince them on the thesis of, why are you picking these guys over me?
Yes.
That's not a compelling argument.
I do remember you say not to try to convince people.
But have conviction.
Okay.
I mean, I just feel like a lot of time, what I'm worried about is you're making an ideological framework for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm gonna fucking show them, like, they're not, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, even the way you said white male, older white male, means that you have disdain towards it, which I think is actually a vulnerability.
Yep, good point.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
There's, I know unlimited, female, black, Asian, like there's people win in all shapes and sizes. Of course there's discrimination. Of course there's bias. Of course there's ways to go on getting equity to where we want. None of that is stopping your business.
So don't focus on that, Ben.
Bingo.
Thank you.
You got it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm trying not to cry here. Okay.
What's your name?
Erica.
I'm
Erica, but I live in Melbourne. So I found you in 2017 when I had my second baby, was breastfeeding, had my electricity on a payment plan, was looking for coins to buy bread. I wasn't like America broke, because I'm from America.
Yep.
But in Australia, we were broke.
Yep.
And I kept, you know, because y'all, we have it good here, come on. Okay, so I was watching your YouTubes and I found Crushing It. And I heard you kind of give a loving bitch slap of like, who cares about your story? No one's coming to find you. You got to get out there and build it. And I quit my job and my husband was freaking out. He had no money, but I'm like, fuck it. Like, it's here. I got to do this. And I wouldn't be here where I am if it wasn't for you. That first year of my business, I did my anchor podcast. Like, I don't know what I was doing in my car. My hoops were hitting
yeah.
Apple fucking headphones. The e-tag was going off and beeping and shit because we didn't have money. And that podcast has like 2.6 million downloads now because of you. So thank you. You know, it's wild. So I did all that and now we are where we want to be and we're about impact and I want to help millions of women. And I hear you always say, if you want to help millions, fucking act like it with how you show up, your content, all that. I got Nina, my social media ballerina over there. Shout out to you. It's two of us trying to do, you know, the content and I fucking love it. I would do it underwater, asleep, fucking talking in my sleep. I love this shit. But how do we, I guess, scale on socials and not fucking, I got two young kids and I wanna
yep.
like watch them grow up.
Of course.
Be like 24/7 and I love talking to people in the DMs.
Yep.
Like how do we do that with a very small team, but wanting to kind of be everywhere because we wanna reach maximum people.
By you two getting better at by you two being better at the content.
Okay.
Let me explain what I mean by that. We are living in the craziest era of social. Since I've started talking about this in 2006, people in here could not even have an account and tomorrow make a video that gets more views than both of us combined have ever gotten on the merit of the content. The way you can get bigger is by being better at the content. Do you understand what to do in the first 3 seconds of a TikTok?
Yeah.
Do you understand the titling? Do you understand what time to be posting? This is a craft.
Mm.
There's a craft to being better at the content. So I think you've got the personality that can get you to a certain level.
Yeah.
But if you're asking me a direct question of how do we get better, you get better by understanding moments of opportunity. A new platform pops out,
yeah.
which is why 4 years ago I was here saying TikTok, 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 because I knew what was happening there. But then when it gets mature and it's not that easy, you have to be better at the craft. I don't know how much time the two of you are spending on really understanding how the algorithms work, on understanding why a carousel ad will do this.
Yeah.
How much are you posting on LinkedIn?
Okay, yeah, I'm posting on LinkedIn.
Right, and so at what time?
Yeah.
How many words?
So what? For quality over like a fuckload of posts.
Both.
Because we're not putting shit out. Like it's not shit just to do it. Like we're trying to put good shit, but it's like a million platforms. Not because, you know, like sometimes you're like, post 50 times a day, and it's like
I do
half
think,
of that was shit. So we don't want to post
but,
shit.
But like nobody thinks their kid's ugly. The boys like that one. Let's go, fellas. I think the biggest conversation that's not being had, and the reason I'm sticking on this one is I know this will help all of you, is are you good at your craft?
Yeah.
You know, like, do you understand what time to post? How long the copy should be? What the thumbnail should... Mr. Beast spends $150,000 on a thumbnail. Mr. Beast spends $150,000 per thumbnail on his YouTubes. That would make me and all of you understand that a thumbnail matters.
Yeah.
Most people here have no idea what their thumbnail is when they post. Whatever's fucking defaulted. Right? So I would say for you two, more in the craft. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, Gary. My name is Nick Kello. I was part of Eruption 5. I was the addict for 26 years and overcame that addiction. 2.5 years clean now. So I post my journey on social media. I feel I'm making an impact. I'm still trying to get a fucking handle on life, and it's a journey. I'm learning.
We all are.
Yeah, yeah. And like I'm impacting people. I'm starting to be consistent in the gym, and I'm getting fucking messages. I'm consistent in the gym too. This is amazing. And the thing is, I'm unemployed. I'm just wondering, do you have any advice of how I can monetize what I'm doing? Or
I mean, monetize. You know, do you want to get a job?
Yeah, but this is me. Like I love posting my journey.
But I'm asking you a really practical question because I want you to win. Monetizing is very challenging. Let me explain. You've got to either get brand deals. You've got to either be a big enough creator where you're getting meaningful money from the revenue share of the platforms, which you have to be at a very high level for that. You have to create a product to sell. All three of those are challenging.
Okay.
You could create a course or charge your audience, I think that changes the entire dynamic of it.
Yeah.
So I think you have to be, monetizing is challenging. The reason I'm asking is, do you want to get a job? I think the same tenacity you're attacking this with, applying to 10 or 15 jobs a day with good copy and good videos is something you also have to give a thought to.
Yeah.
Because I think the stability of having the job 9 to 5 and then do content afterwards might take the anxiety off, because when you're unemployed, it's on your mind.
Yeah, 100%.
And then you might actually be sitting on something, this is very important, I want everybody to hear this, you might be sitting on something very powerful, but you have to keep doing it for another 3 years before it goes to where you want it to.
Yeah.
But if you're so anxious to turn it into money, you're gonna lose your audience because they're gonna feel it, and all you needed to do was get a 9 to 5.
Oh my God, I fucking get that. Okay, yes, I understand. Okay, yes, awesome, thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, brother. I'm sorry, sister, I see you. Go ahead. I didn't realize about the four, I apologize. Go ahead, my man.
That's all right. Firstly, welcome to Melbourne, we appreciate you. My name is Rail, I'm a CEO and founder of a public company in the B2B space. Couple of questions. Firstly, tomorrow night, my wife makes a great chicken soup. Do you want to come for Shabbos?
Yeah, so that's an incredible invite, but I don't know if you know this. I'll be leaving at 4 a.m. on my way to Sydney and then to Brisbane and back in America on Sunday. I'm on a fucking tour out here.
We'll miss you at shul, but next time.
Next time.
Secondly, look, you've put out a lot of content recently around personal, around B2C.
Yes.
We're in the B2B space. What are you seeing in the B2B space? What's the next play? And I think it's really an untapped market.
I agree.
What do you think?
So I think LinkedIn, and I've mentioned it already twice, think about that. I'm obsessed with LinkedIn for B2B. Most of VaynerMedia's growth right now is in B2B clients, because we are annihilating LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is acting like Facebook 10 years ago. So to me, LinkedIn for B2B is a golden era right now. The media and the creative opportunities, both on organic reach and creative, but then targeting CIOs or procurement, like the ad targeting is insane. It's like the shit that Facebook got yelled at for that they still have. So LinkedIn by far, starting podcasts that are made for just a couple hundred people. Back to what, when I was asked that gentleman, do you really need scale? If you're in B2B and you're only targeting 850 companies in all of Australia, you only need 850 listeners. And so a B2B podcast that you can do to then chop up so you have creative to run ads on LinkedIn is what I'd be thinking about.
And what are you seeing from a trend point of view as well? Product or service, what are you seeing over there in the States that's sort of coming across your desk?
I just think the biggest trend is how AI is gonna disrupt a lot of these products and services. You know, I think from a product standpoint, the AI-ification of so many of these products is like that warfare has begun. That's probably the biggest observation by far.
Thank you.
Thank you,
mate.
Yes, darling.
Thank you. I'll be quick with this one. My name is Chris. I am an ADHD leadership coach.
So I work. Hi. Oh, I'm sorry. She's going over there. You're next. Go ahead.
I work with leaders who have ADHD, autism, dyslexia, dyspraxia.
Yes.
Dyslexia.
Yes.
And you start talking about this idea of reverse engineering what people find valuable.
Yes.
And this is something that I am particularly trying to integrate into my life because I do have a knack for putting myself out in community, building my ideas by bouncing them off other people.
Yes.
I need the verbal process.
Me too.
To do this.
Me too.
But then making sure that I'm pulling out the right question to ask from all that information that I'm learning. And then how do I answer that question in a way that's going to be really powerful for an audience? So how do I reverse engineer that?
By doing the reps. Meaning by giving out all those answers and all those hypotheses, the volume is the breakthrough. The reason stuff is very clear to me is because a lot of the work I do is public and you don't see it. Meaning, go look at every post I've posted. Analyze it. Like, you can see over a course of like 6 months, me get to the point through little steps on a daily basis. Like, if you think about me being consistent, it's because it's small variations of saying the same thing in different context points until it hits the crescendo. This is the whole concept of perfection that everyone's got confused. Even the way you're thinking about it, right, is like so powerful. I think this could really liberate you by trying to get there over, like, notice how you're like, I need to do it verbalizing, and I was like, me too. The only difference is I'm not trying to solve the problem for a perfect answer one time. I'm doing it over and over through the content.
That is amazing and very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, darling, go ahead. Hi.
Hi, Gary, how are you?
I'm good.
Welcome to Melville.
Thank you.
In 2019, I've been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis and I have affected eye movements and 40% disability. But the thing is, I still am happy. I've done over $1 million business in last 5 years. And my competitors are my haters. They hate me. And of course,
you do understand. You just said your competitors are your haters. They hate you, right?
Yes.
You do understand the number one goal every business has is for their competitors to hate them. That is a tremendous accomplishment.
My market was earlier a male-dominating market, and I think I have done good being a woman. But now I'm entering because I have more than enough savings, and I'm entering into B2B. Business. I will be probably opening my own RTO by this year, and I'll be the sole director and CEO of that business. And now those who are right now hating me, I'll be into the business wherein those will be my prospective. So now the thing is, I don't tell everyone that I have MS. I don't want to take pity, you know.
Yep.
I want to just be positive.
Yep.
About that they should take a positive, I'll be able to do the business. How should I create a positive impact on them?
Well, I think first of all, are you going to still be in the prior business or are you?
No, I was doing it. My husband, he also helping me big time. He's there. He will be in the prior business and I will be in another business now.
So they're going to hate him.
it's just that because my eye movements are not good enough and my hearing problem is there, and because of MS obviously I yawn a lot, and but I have wings, I want to fly as much as I can do. I am doing it. I'm not a woman who can sit idle and just cook and clean. I just want to do a lot of things in my life.
I'll be honest with you, like if your next thing was gonna be, would you invest in my business? The answer would be yes. Like you're so clearly motivated and capable. Like I'm almost embarrassed to answer your question because I don't think it's gonna have any level of impact. I think you're gonna will your way to success in your next business. I mean it. Like these prospective clients, they're either gonna say yes or no. My intuition is if they all say no, you're gonna take that feedback and come up with another thing that people are gonna say yes to.
Okay.
Right? Like that's what you do. You've persevered through all of what you've persevered through. Like you're just capable of navigating it. How do I, you know, how, when you say, how am I gonna make it positive or how do I make it positive? You've already decided that. And the fact that you're not gonna be in that other business is probably gonna be a benefit. Some of those people are gonna be smart enough to do business with you just to try to learn from what you did in the last business, which is their business.
Yeah, my last business, I just been following you and each and every video I see on Snapchat, on TikTok, on Insta, everywhere. I follow you on Twitter as well. The thing which has helped me a lot was like the one video of yours wherein you said you don't need big cameras, you don't need anything, this smartphone is more than enough. That like I really love, I really got motivated enough and I am here because of you. This is what I can say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Harry, how are you?
I'm well, my friend.
Ready this morning at 5 o'clock. I sent you the message on what's on Insta. I'm excited to see you. It'll be glad if you can please reply me.
You got it.
All right, so what I want to ask you, see, I'm huge in women empowerment. I've been a chef for 22 years, and because of my wife, I quit the job, and I actually did a full-time business from zero to six figure in 6 months.
Amazing.
And I come from a family of doctors. My father's a spine surgeon, my mom's a physio. And while I was training clients, you know, the main thing which really, really sort of got me curiosity, what you said, and I want to ask you for value. Clients were coming to me and they were having pain and they were going. And I was so curious about it. Why are they having these pain? And then I started looking at the competition. So what I really found out, I actually got into the same goal. During COVID, I actually injured my shoulder. I injured my back. And I spoke to my dad. He couldn't really help me. I spoke to my mom, she couldn't really help me. So I went to the physios, I went to the osteos, and they gave me some correctional exercise, which did help. But the main thing which happened, I lost my motivation of exercising again. So I started finding a gap. And the gap, what I really realized, that the main thing what people really come into the fitness is because they lack posture. And because of posture, when you're sitting down or doing any exercise, no matter you go to the world best gym, if people won't really fix your posture, there's show that you're gonna get injured. So what the gap I found is I started digging deep in, started hiring the best coaches out in the world, and came with a plan that I want to look after, especially women, because they're hardworking women, and they all support their family, to fix their posture before giving them a dream come true, I'm gonna give you a six pack on
your
beach body. So what I really wanna ask, that when people come to me, first of all, they wanna see the senior, which is physios, all the other places, and I'm giving them a lot of value, right? They let them dictate their life. And sometimes they come and question me. And I sometimes really, really feel bad in my integrity, like I'm trying to sort so many things. And sometimes I think I'm not able to add that value of all the patient hard work and actually working with the curiosity, going through depression, anxiety during COVID, to get that piece of product which is meant for vitality, meant for being happy,
yep,
not going to the doctors,
I got it,
having a luxury life. So I just want you to help me, how can I get that value added to my business so that people really think, they take everything for granted. Oh, well, you fixed my leg. Oh, that's it, I'm gonna start walking. So I'm like, what if 5 years or 10 years later, you are actually not able to walk? They don't really think about it. So I really want to sort of, I found a gap, and this is for mental health. And I have people, I've got this new way of exercising where I have
But what's the gap that you're trying to fill for yourself in this scenario? You feel underappreciated or undercompensated?
No, I'm actually trying to get that compassion, what I see in people, a vision where 5 years or 10 years down the lane, if they were not come to me and they were still going through the process, like as a fitness coach, I want to bring that together.
Yes, I understand, but why?
Because I love doing that.
But okay, so if you love doing it, you don't need the feedback loop for what you're asking for.
No, I just want to say, how can you add value? How can you make people?
You've added value.
But sometimes people don't take it that way.
That's because you're looking for that validation.
Okay. No, that's true. But how can I overcome the validation and how can I break that process?
By recognizing that a lot of times getting that validation comes later.
All right.
You've been doing it for 6 months.
Oh, no. Training, I've been doing it for 17 years.
Yes.
My business started when I was actually left the job during COVID.
Yep.
And 6 months, I actually grew up my business.
Yep.
And I was working. So the business going on for 17 years.
Got it.
But full time I've been.
Understood.
So it was a side.
Look, I think what's very clear is, and I get it, is I just think that the validation that you're seeking is just not as going to be as transactional as you'd like it to be.
All right, so I'll tell you one, I want to ask one more thing. Can I ask one question, please?
Real quick, please.
Real quick. So when you said about the parents.
Yes.
Like because they've been doctors.
Yes.
And I came as a chef.
Yes.
There was a huge intimidation.
No shit, all my life, of course.
Like you can't be a doctor.
Of course.
People used to come to my father and say, look at you, you're such a big doctor.
Yes.
Look at your son.
Yes, that's right.
So how can I fix that if you're saying that's the validation? Just give me one answer, thank you.
Why would you care about that? Let's talk about it. So your dad's friend, your uncle, whoever it is, to your point, I believe what you were saying, I was gonna end with that, knowing the history of doctors with a chef. You know, when you were doing it, that was like the help, you know, a chef, right? I think that insecurity feeling is what's happening to you with your need for validation from the patients. You're trying to prove something. I get it, like, cause that's a lot of judgment thrown at you coming up in your life that
you, fighting.
Of course, I think you gotta let it go. It doesn't mean anything, as if someone's opinion of you matters.
And I don't wanna let it go, but still, it just seeps inside me, I don't know why.
It seeps inside of you because you were dominated by it. You were pounded by it from your heritage, that doctor, chef, that was a lot. That was a lot to be thrown at you, but you've got to release that. You've got to release it.
Thanks a lot.
You got it.
Hey, Gary. Hey Gary, my core mission is to harness the cognitive potential of humanity. My name's Justin. I'm an AI coach and I help CEOs and executive leaders elevate to their cognitive potential by using AI. One of the joys I have at the moment is working with the leadership team of a school.
Okay.
You mentioned some comments about, you know, school marks and clearly not reflective of smarts. The schools that we went through were designed in one way. Like, if you got to redesign a school today that was more suitable to you, with everything you know about AI, with everything you know about what you need students coming in, like, what are you putting in a school of the future that you're building?
You know, for me, if I'm thinking about creating a curriculum, the concept of information memorization is ludicrous. Asking kids to memorize stuff for tests is silly when we have technology where it is today. For me, I would try to build a school that was building self-esteem and was teaching kids how to interact and was teaching kids practical things like real rules of society, like competition and merit, how to pay your taxes, like what life insurance means. It would be completely based on common sense and kindness. Yeah, of course, like when people are like, no, Gary, you don't get it. We have to teach core skills. I'm like, do you know how many people are homeschooled and learn their home? Like, you can teach, like, core skills are pick upable. Like, they're there. They're always there. Like, yeah, okay, you'll teach math, but like, I just think that we don't think about positioning people for real life. It's all academia for the sake of academia.
Yeah, we have this cool opportunity to personalize the learning, right? So, like, is there a class? Is there a something you'd love to go back and do differently?
All of it. I fucking hated school.
Yeah.
You know, like the fact that I wasn't taught like about marketing or like, you know, proper investing or just normal shit. Like, it's crazy. We teach no life skills.
And to the parents that are worried about privacy of AI data, do you think that's a thing that we're just gonna shift our mindset around that?
Every single person in this room's privacy and data has been compromised already.
Yeah.
It has. Listen, nobody wants their data or privacy compromised, but it's already happened. Like, every government's been hacked, every organization, all your banks have been hacked, like, it's all there. I know what you're doing tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Portia, and this is my mom, Rebecca. And I was wondering how I could convince my mom to let me have some social media platforms. so I could like show my dancing and acting and stuff.
Well, I think that's a decision between you and your mom that I have no interest in getting involved in. But I would say to your mom, there is a way to, it's like, look, this is a philosophical thing for parents forever. For a lot of us in this room that are parents now, what's going on with social media reminds me so much around alcohol, right? So, alcohol. In America, we banned alcohol in the 30s and 40s. Just like some people ask us to ban social media today. What it did was it created a byproduct of even worse behavior. People were still doing it anyway. And our relationship with alcohol has never been great in our country for that reason. A lot of parents here know, because we went to university and college with kids, that parents were very, very strict and made everything demonized. And the first week of college, they got blackout drunk every night because they didn't know how to balance it. Media has that stigma for parents, and I think for a lot of parents, there is ways to do it in a way that can be a little bit of moderation at a time. Sometimes you can start with only the family members are able to follow the kid and things of that nature. So I think you and your mom have to have a second level conversation. You gotta convince her, mom, it's not all or nothing. It's not like I wanna go on TikTok and go crazy and you can't watch. Maybe you can make it a private account. And maybe only you, mom, can decide who gets to follow me and get to see my stuff. And maybe you start going a little bit one step at a time. I think too many kids and parents have the all or nothing approach without having maybe a slow and steady approach.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Rebecca.
I've been following you for a very long time. I work in the mental health space just recently and specialize in children. Teenagers mainly.
Yes.
And Portia is 12, turning 13.
Yes.
And so many kids that I've seen already have got huge addictions to gaming, social media, online, even watching gaming.
Yep.
And their parents want me to help them with their mental health.
Yeah.
But they're spending 4 or 5 hours a day online. So that's why for me it's really difficult for me.
I get it.
Sort of say, here you go, here's TikTok, and I know what the algorithms do for, you know, the undeveloped brain.
Yeah, but just to put it into a different perspective, when I was, you know, 14, a little bit older, you know, everybody was mad at models in magazines because they were so skinny, and all the girls in my high school were in the bathroom throwing up because they all thought they had to be Kate Moss. Because we looked at magazines when I was in high school. Everyone was talking about people playing Nintendo for 4 hours a day, or what? Or the TV was the problem. Humans are always gonna be addicted to something. You know, like, I think, and by the way, you know this, for every kid that you see in what you do for a living, there's another kid who is handling it. You know, and so I think parents just love their kids so much that they, this generation of parents, you and I included, is driven by fear at a level that we have not seen in parenting in a very long time. And that fear is making us do things that are very different. All of us that are in our 40s and above also had another thing. Our parents weren't up our fucking ass every minute like we are with our kids. Lot less claps for that one. So I think we've got a double issue at hand. We have the most fear-based parenting generation of all time, and we have parents that are in our kids' business at a level that is unheard of. So we have become micromanaging fear-based mongers, and our children are actually having counter effects to this. We think we're doing good. We're so up their ass, they don't know how to be grown-ups by the time they're 20.
You're grilling me here, Gary.
I'm not grilling you. I'm not killing you. I think
you're gonna get home and she's gonna be like, I told you.
You know, look, I think the scariest thing on earth is to tell anyone how to parent their child. I think it's completely out of bounds. I will say that this has been going on for a while. I also have the luxury of interacting with an ungodly amount of people, and a lot of them are now 18, 20, and 22, and many hundreds of them work for me, and many more 10,000s of them talk to me. And I can tell you that we've got to let these kids breathe a little bit. Just a little bit. We are so far up their ass. Most of us are strong because we were out in the jungle a little bit. What we're doing in modern parenting is we're creating zoo animals. We're putting them in these cages and we're trying to take care of them. And I don't know if you know what happens to an animal that grew up in the zoo when they put them in the wild. They die within a minute because they go out to the real jungle and the lion tears their fucking head off. And so what I think is happening is that we are micromanaging and zoo animal mingling our kids so much out of fear because we love them so much and we know what they're doing every fucking second that we're actually not preparing them for life. And I think like the old saying in Russian, that is my favorite Russian saying, it translates to everything is at its best when there is balance. And I think we have lost our collective balance.
Hey Gary, my name is Samson, and it's good to see you. You changed my life. So
thank you.
7 years ago, it's the first time I know about your content, and then I was like one of those kids who's always been learning and never, you know, doing anything. And then I was in a very, I was in a job kind of suffering a lot, and then so 5 years ago I read Crush It. And then that kind of demonstrated to me how like people who are successful or have a little bit of success needed, you know, how much work it needed to get there. It kind of, you know, gave me that awakening, and then I quit my job, and then I find something that actually maps to where I wanted to go.
Yes.
And 2 years ago, I get into a digital marketing agency, a mid-size or advertising agency in,
yes,
in Australia, and
yes,
I'm very happy. From there, and I'm loving it. I'm
That's awesome.
My craft every day. So I just really want to say thank you.
Thank you.
For me, I know, because I love you so much in the future.
In the future, not right now?
I really want to kind of work for you. Or
at Vayner?
At Vayner.
So email me at because we're hot, we're exploding in Australia, and so we're hiring.
I was gonna ask what kind of tips you're gonna give, you know, people around, but you just gave me like direct. It's okay.
What I do?
Hi Gary. Hello.
Hi.
Hi Gary.
Hi.
It's, you're such an inspiration to me. I've been following you for so many years as well. I was Portia's age when I arrived on a boat as a refugee from northern Iraq, the Kurdistan region, if you know.
Of course.
And then, obviously, as a person from that sort of background, I've been through a lot, but I never made an excuse to give up on my dreams and so on and so forth, as everyone else is so inspiring here. But honestly, I started reading on self-development a long, long time ago when I couldn't even speak English properly. I think the most convincing person, and also after having read your book, especially the chapter about conviction, it really made me, it was like a punch in the face. I quit law. Actually, 2 years ago when I was pregnant with my second child, there were a few pregnant people while they were listening to you. I thought she was telling my story, honestly. The beautiful lady in the pink from America. So when I was pregnant, I was, I don't know if anyone knows Lendlease, maybe I shouldn't give out my previous employment history, but I was working for them, not as a lawyer, but as an admin assistant to make my life easier while I was pregnant so that I don't have as much stress as a lawyer strategically. I remember walking along, I don't even know the name of the river, but in the city, I was listening to your podcast every single day while I had a different mindset at work, and then outside I was pumped every single day, walking to exercise to make my child healthy. And then I said, you know what, effort, I'm going to quit. I will not go back to law. I will never go back to business development management and so on. And then I started creating NFTs, which I had absolutely no idea about. So I started creating NFTs and I only sold two, but that's not the point.
Two's better than zero.
Exactly. And then I started reconnecting with my childhood love of drawing. But of course, to the disappointment of my parents, my mom was like, all my daughter does these days is draw. She went from law and human rights lawyer and all the education you can imagine, you know, when you become a lawyer. And then I did a Master of International Relations. And then I'm doing absolutely nothing with it other than that it's just, you know, a stepping stone and maybe use it as a strategy that I have those things on my resume. But isn't that interesting? I'm fascinating myself, I guess. Sorry, I don't know how where that came from, but what I'm trying to say is I disappointed my parents, and I'm obviously not proud of that, but I, for the first...
The number one thing that most people on earth should be doing is disappointing their parents.
Did you hear that?
And I mean this, here's why. Deep down, especially immigrant parents, like we all know the story. Deep down, push comes to shove. Maybe not to your face, but as a parent yourself, the number one thing a parent wants is their child to be happy.
Yes.
It is very obvious how parents get into this trap, because we've lived through, just like maybe our generation is micromanaging too much, our parents' generation and their parents' generation valued the neighbor's opinion too much.
Yes.
Most parents of the last two generations push their children to do things literally based on other people's opinions, not even their own opinion about their own child.
100%.
You should have disappointed your parents.
I should have done it way earlier. That is disappointing. But you know, now that I'm 35, and you know, it's funny because when you have kids, and I've heard this from a lot of people, once you have kids, and it was so funny hearing it from you when you said your father was only paying you 70K a year, and then you realize much later, you're like, oh gosh, like what, he's not paying me at all, so I should speak up. So it's sometimes it requires some time.
Of course.
Hold on, but then one day you're like, okay, that's it.
That's right.
I'm going to follow my own path because, time.
And by the way, a lot of people get upset. Gary, why are you saying this? And I say to the parents, I'm trying to save you. I'm like, the quicker your kid disappoints you, the more likely you'll have a long-term relationship with your kid. What people don't realize is kids that live their lives for their parents start to build resentment for their parents as every day goes by. And the longer they continue to live their lives for their parents, the more likely they're gonna have a poor relationship with their parents.
And it's evidenced by the relationship I'm having with my parents, unfortunately, because they're not understanding the path I'm taking, which is now I'm about to go live with my product. I'm not here commercializing that, but I'm just so proud of myself. Despite the backlash and they've given me, I basically feel like I'm on my own path, even though the support is...
Can I give you good news?
Please.
They're going to get over it.
Yeah, I reckon.
I have a really good idea.
Yes.
Go to a store that does custom shirts.
Yes.
And I want you to make a shirt for your parents that says draw over law.
Draw over law.
And I want you to give it to them.
Oh, good. Give it to them.
Yes, right to their fucking face.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Spasibo, supas, engedish. I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you.
I wish you better than your heart desires.
You're thank you.
Love
thank
you.
Thank you. We'll go over a little bit.
Hey, Gary.
You're next. Hi.
Hey, brother. Hang out for here.
Yes, I know who you are.
And how you doing, man? Yeah, remarkably, it's the third continent we've seen each other on this year.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, very, very pleased, very fortunate. Last time we spoke in VCon,
yes.
I mentioned the Tokyo Dads podcast
yep.
that I'm working on.
Yep.
Still striving towards episode 55 to throw my
I'm
right
standing by. I was scared you were already there and there was going to be time.
Oh, yeah. So today I want to delve into parenting
okay.
a little bit, sort of one
yep.
thing. And you've mentioned many times specific instances that your parents have done certain actions.
Yes.
That have, you know, you remember like your dad's handshake.
Yes.
Mom praising you when you
yes.
you
know, open the door. Yes.
Yeah. Now, what are some things that you do specifically in practice with your children to instill these things?
I do very similar things. So what he's referring to for the people that are really deep in my content, I talk about these singular moments where I got positive reinforcement. My mom, the thing I think a lot about with parenting is like, if you tell your kids it's all about straight A's, they get formed into like believing and listening to the system and they just become workers or listen blindly. Or if you over praise your children their whole lives for being beautiful, they become insecure as they get older because their validation sits in their looks or their athletic ability or their school. So I think a big thing for all leaders here, whether for parents or your employees, is what are you praising and validating? And so for me, I follow a very similar blueprint. You know, with my son, he's got a lot of empathy. He's got a lot of feelings towards his friends. You know, I think about this one game he had in baseball where he hit a line drive and it hit the coach in the chest. He fucking nailed it. It was a great hit. Hit the book, and instead of running to the base, he stopped and went and checked on the coach. And I continue to bring that up to him literally every other week, that he had more compassion to see if the coach was good than his own selfish needs or excitement to succeed in the sport he was playing. With my daughter, I think about things about like when I see that she's not putting too much pressure on herself, you're basically watching and you're thinking about what validation systems you can do on things that are gonna benefit them based on their personalities. Back to the reverse engineering we talked about earlier. So, you know, I think if you love yourself and you're good to other people, your life will always be good. There's unlimited people on earth who are deeply happy making $46,000 a year in annual income. They exist at scale. And so I think we put so much time and effort into so many other things. And, you know, for me, I'm spending all my time trying to make sure that they're just happy, actually. And it starts with, you know, reinforcing nice behavior, either for others, think about the first story I told you, or to oneself, think about the second story.
Thank
cheers.
You so much,
last one of your questions.
Hello, Gary.
Hey, brother.
So my name is Mark. I'm 22 years old. Firstly, I am vlogging this, so can you say hi to my vlog? Because they told me I wouldn't be able to say hi to you.
Vlog, what's good?
Thank you, Gary. And thank you for tweeting back at me. Best day of my life. I've been watching your content for a while, and I love everything you talk about, patience, gratitude, and execution, and I live by it. I'm 22, and I taste test everything, and I lead into curiosity. My problem is with patience, and it's not because I want $1 million, and it's not because I want to make it. It's because this Monday, I'm going to be relaunching my dad's business, okay? I love social media, whether it's like advertising or being an influencer or things like that. And I'm relaunching my dad's business, and I'm happy to be patient and do it patiently, but I don't understand how to be patient when my family's health is deteriorating.
Sure.
Right? Like, I have a deep love for my parents. I don't give a fuck how much money I make. I really want to make it for my parents. I really don't care. Like, we've been renting for so long, all I want to do is make it for them. I don't care about the money for myself. How do I lean into patience?
Yeah, this is a very, brother, this is a very common question. Because I talk about patience a lot and this framework, I get a lot of questions about like, Gary, that's fine and dandy, but my mom is terminally ill and she's gonna be gone in less than 2 years for sure. And you can't tell me patience, I have to make it before she goes.
Yeah.
And I say to that person, this is incredibly challenging. I'm so sorry. This is the worst, fuck, I'm devastated, but you being impatient and taking shortcuts is not going to create the thing you want anyway. Okay. I'm giving you the answer to the following. Yeah. As their health deteriorates, so what do you, like, talk it through logically for me.
Yeah.
Building anything meaningful takes time.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do differently? Okay. Like, what's going to happen? You think there's a shortcut? You think I'm going to tell you some trick? You think I'm going to give you a tidbit that, like, it's just not how it fucking works.
It's just like, you know, I know you talk about, you know, you gave up your 20s to, like, live out your dreams and stuff like that. Like, I've done the same.
No, you haven't.
No, you haven't. No, but I've given up a lot, right? Like,
But you didn't give up. You just said, I've given up my 20s. You're 22. You haven't started.
Yeah. Like, I don't go out. I don't lean into that.
That's good.
You know, I lean into doing things that I enjoy rather than, like, going for things that have...
Well, you just said you lean into things that you enjoy.
Like, that make me happy.
Well, then you didn't give up shit. sounds like you're being selfish.
You're giving up going out, things like that.
But you don't like it anyway. You like this more. So what the fuck did you give up?
I guess that's true.
Okay, so thank you.
I guess that's true.
But I want to help you here. This is why we're doing this.
Yeah.
You didn't give it up.
Yeah.
So keep going.
Yeah. So I guess just for me, like, I watch your content.
Good.
And I actually act on it.
Okay.
Patience, gratitude, execution all the time. How do we overcome this issue of patience when there's, like, you know, things that just can't be changed? Do you recommend taking shortcuts? Do you recommend taking a faster route? Like,
do you watch my content and think I'm going to tell you to take a shortcut?
Well, that's the only question I have.
What's the shortcut? Talk this through, because it's very fascinating to me. Yes. Talk me through this shortcut. Like, shortcut.
Like,
what are you gonna, what's the business?
Well, my dad's business?
Yeah.
He's a chauffeur business.
Okay. Yeah. So what shortcut are you going to take to make this chauffeur business 10 times bigger to make it before their health deteriorates?
Clickbait stuff. I'll be honest. Like,
what's that?
Clickbait stuff.
So do that.
Yeah, I guess.
What's clickbait stuff?
I don't know, like think shady marketing strats, you know? That,
like what?
I can't think of them on the spot because I try to be genuine when I market.
But like, what do you think's gonna happen? What's shady? You're not doing a fucking click funnel and a mastermind.
True.
So what's shady? What are you gonna, like, trick someone to take the fucking cab? Like, what are you gonna knock on people's door and throw them in the car and drive and then tell them they owe you $30? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, why I'm doing this with you is you're talking philosophy. The biggest issue that so many people have is they talk about things in theory versus reality. If you just listen to this conference, this is what I'm doing this for everyone here. Like, what are you gonna do? Like, you just...
I'm gonna try my best.
You know, which is amazing. Like, you're coming from a good place. You'd like this for them, but, like, I just also don't think you have an answer to the shortcut.
Right.
So you have no other choice.
Yeah.
So what are you gonna do when you start for your dad's business? What's the plan?
Well, he's had it for a while, and honestly, I love you, Dad. It hasn't been for a while.
Yep.
So I'm relaunching it. You know, I'm gonna be doing the advertising for it. I'm gonna try and manage his finances, and I really wanna just, like, boom his business, you know?
Well,
like,
just by cutting costs and making it not profitable,
yeah,
you've already advanced it dramatically.
That's right, yeah.
That's not a shortcut.
Yeah.
That's working a P&L properly.
Thank you, Gary.
You're welcome.
And just one more thing. You said if you don't ask, you'll never know.
That's right.
Would I ever be able to get you on my podcast, which is about finding gratitude and happiness?
You know, one thing that I said up there is I'm working more on my candor.
Yes.
And so, no, listen, I'm working on it too. Like, no bullshit. Years ago, 10 years ago, I would sit here and be like, yes, and everybody would clap, and then there'd be an 80% chance I wouldn't do it, right? And I don't want to be that person. The answer is maybe.
Okay.
If you email me and in the title, put, I was the kid that was looking for the shortcut.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we'll sneak it in.
You'll find the clickbait thumbnail anyway.
I'll look for it.
I love you, Gary.
I love
you
back.
Thank you so much.
I love you back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gary Vaynerchuk.
Thank you. Thank you.